said, know this, that when all these things are happening, it's even at the door. It's at the door. He's at the door.
Yeah.
It's pretty remarkable to think about it, because the door is the last thing that has to open up before someone enters. I want to talk tonight about, behold, the bridegroom cometh. And I want to talk a few minutes about the word behold. Jude tells us that Enoch prophesied the coming of the Lord. And, you know, Enoch walked with God. And, of course, when you walk with somebody, you talk with them. So God talked to Enoch about this. And in verse 14 in the book of Jude says, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000 of his saints. Now, this is back in the book of Genesis. But God told Enoch way back then about his coming with saints. I mean, pretty remarkable to think about it. Was the word saint even... in vocabulary back then, but God told them saints. It's amazing how God is. And Revelation 1:7 says, behold, he comes with the clouds. Revelation 3:11, behold, I come quickly. I want to talk about the word behold. It's an interesting word. It's found hundreds of times in the Bible in different types of settings. But the word behold has the connotation of three elements. Number one, it has that connotation of expectation. Everybody say expectation.
Expectation.
It has the connotation, number two, of adoration. Everybody say adoration.
Adoration.
And number three, it has the connotation of participation. So this is a thing when it says, behold, I come quickly. The three elements that are working there in that word is expectation, which is faith in him. I expect because I have faith in him. The second, adoration, is love for him. So the word behold means I'm expecting because I have faith in him. Also, I'm adoring him, which is worship, which is love for him. But then the element that's in behold is participation, which is unity with him. Because what would be the purpose of expectation and adoration if I'm not going to participate with him? Guess what we're going to participate in? The marriage supper of the Lamb. Wow. So when the Bible says, behold, it's more than a glimpse and a glance. I'm expecting Jesus. I'm worshiping him until I see him, and I'm participating with him now, and I will participate with him at the marriage supper and for all eternity. Come on, give God a praise, somebody. I tell you, oh my gosh. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 8. We're going to go to different scriptures tonight, but I love this. The voice of my beloved. Behold, he cometh, leaping upon the mountains and skipping upon the hills. Heavenly Father, help us tonight to grasp your coming so near. Help us understand that you are coming, leaping, you are coming, skipping upon the hills. Help us to understand what you mean here. In Jesus' name, everyone said.
Amen.
The word voice there is also comes from a root word which means sound. There's a sound. There's a sound that Jesus has. There's a sound that the anointing has. There's a sound that the Holy Spirit speaks. It's a sound that's different. You know, Paul said there's many voices in the world, and none of them was without significance, but we have a sound and a voice the world does not have. It's the sound of Jesus. Interesting here, about his voice. Everybody say his voice. Number one, his voice wakes up the bride.
Yeah.
How many believe a lot of folks need to be woke up?
Yeah.
His voice wakes us up.
Amen.
I've had many times in my life, I'm sure the Holy Spirit, his voice wakes me up out of sleep, out of a dream. His voice wakes her up. Second thing, his voice shakes her up. Oh, yeah. Oh, I tell you what. If we think, you know, when Jesus comes, we're just going to go say, hey, man, how you doing? No. When that shout, when he does that shout, that voice, it's, I'm glad I won't be saved, but it's still going to shake us. There's no way. Look at, let me give you an example. John the Beloved had his head on the face, on the chest of Jesus. He was one of the three that saw Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration, right? But when the resurrected Christ appeared to him in the book of Revelation, he fell down as dead. Same Jesus. Because we only see him in part and know him in part. Why didn't John just say, oh, Jesus, how are you doing? He fell down his head. Oh, how awesome he is. Wonderful. How magnificent. His glory is beyond what we can think. So, his voice wakes her up. His voice shakes her up. How many glad that God at times shakes us up?
Amen.
Third thing, his voice takes her up. His voice is going to take us up.
Amen.
Glory to God. His voice, behold, he cometh. Waking her up. Shaking her up, take her up. You know, if you think about your Christian life and your experience with God, there are things today that you wish you had walked in 10 years ago. And what has happened, he woke you up to some new things. There are things that I wish I could go back 10 years and let God finish his shaking. I should have let him shake it out 10 years ago. Now I have to deal with it now. And my preparation for him to take me up is to make sure I don't love the world. I'm not a competition with Jesus of the world. Oh, I like the things of the world. I like my computer. I like my car. So we don't love the things. That's a whole other message. Now, I like this part. I like the whole thing. But it says he comes leaping and skipping. How many used to skip, you know, when you're girls, you didn't skip? How guys leaping? I don't know if we didn't leap. How many played that game? Leapfrog, whatever. But this is interesting. Why did the Holy Spirit pen these words? That he's not just coming walking, hey man, good to see y'all. Roger Pittsburgh. Says he comes leaping. Leaping means he overcame all the difficulties and hindrances that stopped us from going to him. And he leaped over them. Nothing could hinder or prevent his coming. He leaped because he had to leap over some things. Doesn't say he's come walking. How many of you ever watched the races? They can leap over those. What do they call those things?
Hurdles.
How many of there's some hurdles Jesus had to leap over?
Yeah.
And he did. And then it says skipping. That has to do with great pleasure and delight. Wow, Jesus skipping. When he comes back. Of course, for the unrighteous and those that hate him, of course, it's a different scenario. He's coming back in judgment, Jude says. But for us, he's coming leaping. He's coming. Skipping. You ever see a little child just skipping? A girl, a little boy just skipping. Life is good. Happy. How many believe God wants us like that as his children?
Amen.
Let's just stand up. Let's just practice the skipping. Can we skip? Yeah, you want to hear the word, but you want to do it. Yeah. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 25. I'm going to talk just a few minutes about these 10 maidens that were waiting for the bridegroom. Matthew 25, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps. 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps, took no oil with them. The wives had oiled their vessels with their lamps, while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, which is the darkest time of the day, there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him." Let me just stop and say that just for a moment here. We know that the bride had already met him in a certain capacity. They couldn't have got engaged, so they had met before, right? But it was in a dimension that it needed marriage to culminate. So it's not like she's never met him, but she met him in a dimension that was incomplete. She met him in a dimension that she couldn't totally grasp all that he was, because she hadn't been alone with him and gone on walks with him and been intimate with him. So, in other words, it's like the church. Yeah, we've met him, but we haven't really met him yet at the marriage supper. It's going to be beyond what we think. There's no worship song or hymn or anything that can describe that moment. So, go out this time and meet him, because things are going to change. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said unto the wise, "Give us of your oil, for our lamps have gone out." But the wise answered, saying, "Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. Go rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves." While they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward also the other virgins saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." And he answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, if you neither know the day nor the hour where the Son of Man cometh." There's a lot of different views about this parable. And most of them aren't really that drastically different from one another. But I'm going to, after research and after years of preaching this, I'm going to kind of just look at it a little bit differently, maybe. First of all, let's talk about the lamp. They all had a lamp. Everybody has a lamp on this earth. Everybody born gets a lamp. The lamp is our capacity and our desire for truth. Because a lamp gives the light of what truth is, and Jesus is truth. So everybody born gets a lamp. It's the capacity to have truth in that lamp. The foolish didn't get the truth. The oil can be symbolic of many things, but the reality, it all comes back to Jesus. The five foolish didn't have Jesus in their lamp. They didn't have the revelation, which is light, of who he is. And even though indirectly they were waiting, because the next greatest event is the coming of Christ, they might not know it, but yet they are indirectly waiting for it, because they will be part of it, whether they go up or not. So everybody has a lamp. And that's my capacity and hunger to know the truth. Because Jesus said, if you know the truth, you'll be set free. I'm the truth. So everybody has a lamp. God leaves no one out with a lamp. But some people put things, they don't put oil in the lamp. They put other things in the lamp that don't bring light. But you and I, these five wise virgins, they had revelation of Jesus. And even though they slumbered and slept, they had the oil. Let me say, they had the oil. Everyone must decide what to do with it. What am I going to do with it? Am I going to keep it trimmed? Am I going to get some more? I'm going to believe that when Paul said that I might know him in the power of his resurrection, he wasn't just saying it. He was making a statement. I need that oil. I need more oil. I need to know Jesus more. It's not about the oil. It's the revelation of who Jesus. See, they, the ones that didn't have it, it was told them, now you go to those who sell it. You go to the preacher whose life is to tell about Jesus. You go to those that you can understand who he is, but it was too late. Oh, I'm glad I got the oil. How about you tonight?
Amen.
You glad you got the oil?
Amen.
Revelation 19:7 says, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. Ready, he's coming. All that we see happening in the world should get us our lamps trimmed and to get more oil. Because people today have questions. What is happening? Why isn't this happening? People today, you know why they have questions? Because there's an absence of light. They have questions because there's not enough light to push out the cloudiness of questions. Jesus provides all the answers we need. Ready or not, here I come. How many remember playing that when you were little? Ready or not, here I come. Well, Jesus is saying, ready or not, I'm coming. And he's preparing a people that are wise, taking their lamps and trim some things off their life. They make sure there's nothing in there to hinder their relationship with God. They're in there hungering after him and trying to understand how he could love us despite us. They're in there trying to understand the fellowship of his sufferings and the glory of eternity. They're in there trying to understand that even though life seems to contradict the grace of God, and that things come at us we don't understand, yet still they get more oil to get more light. There's no way you and I are going to have everything figured out that happened to us in this life or what's happening on this side of the Jordan. It's simply not going to happen. We're not going to understand about the suffering. We're not going to understand about a lot of things, but we do know this. Instead of clouding our oil, we want some more pure oil. And we come to Jesus for that. You know, Jesus doesn't answer all of my questions. Jesus doesn't explain everything to me about circumstances. But he's always willing to reveal more of himself to me. God doesn't always tell us everything. He never told Moses, you're going to come to a Red Sea. He never told David that Ziklag would burn. There are things in our life that come unexpectedly. What I have done, I've got along with God. Say, Jesus, I just need you to talk to me. I couldn't figure this out. I couldn't do this thing on my own. But I need to hear your voice. I need to hear the voice of my beloved. And one day, the trumpet will blow, and he will shout. The dead in Christ will rise first. And we together, we're going to be in the air. Forget Star Wars, we're going to be in the air. We're going up in the air. We're not going on a plane. And even that, what is that? What's all the elements of that being in the air? So am I going to be floating? Of course I'll have my new body. What am I going to have on the road? What am I going to look like? Am I going to recognize that? We're all going to be caught up in the air. This is what the Bible says. It's exciting. That's why the word behold also means anticipation. Amen. It means participation. Because we're going to participate in the greatest event other than the resurrection. That gives us hope in these dark times, doesn't it? That gives us answers for those that are struggling. Behold, he cometh. He's coming to take you. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for your word of encouragement to us. Lord, this word of your return, all the way to the book of Genesis, it was foretold. Now it's at the door. We don't know how long it will be before the door swings open. But Lord, we pray we be wise. Oil in our lamp. Be ready to meet you.
By your grace and your grace alone, you'll prepare us. We thank you for it. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Give God a shout.